Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Julie Douglas.
And in this podcast, we are continuing our journey through the seven deadly sins. Yes. To what extent are they sins? To what extent are they detrimental to our lives? To what extent are they evolutionary necessities? We're going to continue to discuss all of this. So last time we talked about pride. This time we're talking about envy, which lines up nicely because in Dante's Purgatory, Dante has to ascend this mountain of purgatory that connects earth to the sky, earth to the heavens. At the top of this mountain is the earthly paradise. And individuals that are going through purgatory, they have to work off each layer of sin before they're fit to enter into the higher realms.
Right.
So the first level you end up going through, a terrace on this mountain. The first terrace deals with pride, and the second terrace deals with envy. And it's interesting, when one travels to this imagined realm, you find the envious shades, these individuals who were very envious in life and are going to have to work this junk off before they can rise higher. Mm-hmm. They're all leaning against each other against boulders. They're all sort of huddled around like beggars.
Okay.
And as Dante comes closer, he finds that their eyelids are sewn shut with wire.
Okay, yeah, that seems reasonable.
Yeah, because envy, especially, our sort of figurative understanding of it, it's all about the eyes. It's, green-eyed envy. It's about looking at other things and
it's
other
about coveting.
Places and coveting.
Yeah.
And so these individuals coveted in their life. They looked with these envious eyes, and now all these envious eyes are shut.
See, I think that is the sort of attention that envy should get. Because it's actually pretty important. And as we were researching this, I thought this is really very interesting stuff.
Mm-hmm. You think it's exactly the kind of attention envy should get?
Well,
you
no.
I
don't
actually
think
their eyelids sewn shut.
No, okay. Especially not with wire thread. That's just cruel.
Well, I was interestingly enough side note, but apparently they would take hawks and they would part of the training of a hawk would be to sew its eyes shut with laces of gut.
Mm.
Like, tennis string or something. And that was just part of training the hawk to accept food from a human master and all this. So
right. That is not like the hawk was coveting other hawks.
Right. But it's interesting that that's where that came from. It wasn't just Dante being morbid. And I mean, he's being a little morbid. He's Dante. But he got the idea from the way people trained at hawks. So.
Well, but again, I think that this is the sort of import that envy has. New York Times writer John Turney actually was talking about it being one of the seven sins and being kind of boring. He said, at first, you know, for him, it was the most useless of the deadly sins, excruciating to experience, mm-hmm. shameful to admit, bereft of immediate pleasure or long-term benefits. To an evolutionary psychologist, there's a certain logic to seducing thy neighbor's wife or stealing his goods. But what's the point of merely coveting them?
Yeah, it was an interesting point he made, because it is not a fun sin. When you hear people talk about, I'm going to go out and say, or like a carnival type deal where it's like, I've got to start being good tomorrow, but tonight I'm just going to covet my face off. Like, nobody says that, you know? It's all about the other vices. No one's like, oh, I'm going to so be envious of Brad Pitt tonight. It's going to be great.
Right. Or I'm just going to get in front of you, and I'm going to covet you all up. But let's talk about envy. Let's start to get into the meat of it, because some people think of it as jealousy, but it actually is not jealousy. Envy is more of a longing for what you don't have, whereas jealousy is more provoked by losing something that you might have had mm-hmm. to someone else.
Like two people are competing for a job. And one gets it over the other, then the person who didn't get the job could be jealous.
Right. And actually, envy comes from the Latin word invidere, which means to look at with malice or cast an evil eye, which is sort of interesting when you were talking about the sewing shuts of the eye. Again, mm-hmm. it's all relating back to that consumption. And is there an upside to this? It's kind of funny. All the other sins, there's a bit of an upside. But this one, I have to say, this is a bit of the dark side. And yes, there's an upside in the sense that you can use envy along, let's say if you use the prism of admiration alongside mm-hmm. with it, you could be more likely to closely note how someone behaves or has attained his or her success and then try to emulate that and create those conditions for yourself.
Yeah, you end up with these sort of, with these two different versions of envy. You have a benign envy and you have a malicious envy. On the benign envy, just for consistency's sake, I looked up in the Satanic Bible to see what Anton LaVey had to say about it.
Of course, yeah.
He's, you know, was very much making kind of a new age argument for these various sins and against organized religion. And he said that envy means to look with favor upon the positions of others and to be desirous of obtaining similar things for oneself. Envy and greed are the motivating forces of ambition, and without ambition, very little of any importance would be accomplished.
Okay,
that's a valid, goat hats aside, that's a valid argument, you know? It's because you think of the people in life that you look at our heroes.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a certain amount of envy there. You're like, man, that dude is an awesome writer. I wish I had skills like that. But in many cases, it takes on that form of, I'm going to really look at what this guy's doing. I'm going to try and emulate how he approaches his art.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to be better for it, you know?
Yeah. And that's what I think is interesting about envy, is so much of it is predicated on your ability to imagine
mm-hmm.
Your life. A future life for yourself. And again, that's where the benign comes in. If you could look at someone and say, I feel motivated by this person. There are things that this person has that I want that fit along with what makes sense in my life or what's really important to
me.
Obviously, the malicious part comes into play when you pay attention to people who you feel like are superior to you to the point where you wish bad things would happen to these people,
mm-hmm.
That you begin to resent people. You spend way too much mental energy on obsessing about something. And that obsession is really at the core of this.
Yeah, so malicious envy becomes, it's not as much a, I really admire that person, I want to be like them. It's more like, I really admire that person. Or not as much I admire them, but like, that person has things I wish I had, I can't have them. But stabbing them would still feel pretty good. If I can't achieve that level of fame, I could at least take that level of fame from them.
Mm-hmm.
Which on the surface sounds just insane, but as we'll discuss, if you kind of break it down, you can find some potential evolutionary advantages in that as well.
Right. Well, I mean, what you're trying to do is find their weakness so that you can bring them back down to your level. Right.
Yeah.
So, in a sense, you're leveling the playing field.
Right. It's kind of like, oh, that person's an awesome runner. my benign envy says I can train up and become as good a runner as they are,
uh-huh.
and maybe, you know, get a little faster and beat them. The other one is like, I will never be as good a runner as they are, but I bet if I cut their tendons with a knife,
right.
then I could easily outrun them. Either way, each scenario ends with me winning the race.
It's kind of the Tonya Harding effect,
yeah.
right? Like, wow, you're such a great skater. I'm just going to hit you in the knees and break your knees. So, yeah, there's malicious, there's benign. And it turns out that in memory studies, this sort of envy really plays into our ability to remember details about people. There have been experiments with envious students at Texas Christian University in Fort Worth and the University of Texas at Austin, Texas. And researchers bore out the conclusion that students who read stories about envy-inducing characters had far better recall than non-envy-inducing characters. Again, here's your mind really dwelling on this person and what they have or what they don't have or what you don't have. And it also turns out that there's a bit of ego depletion involved in this.
Oh, so it ends up actually wearing down your mental faculties.
Yeah, and we talked about this. We talked about ego depletion is one of the things that happens when...
It's part of decision fatigue, right?
Decision fatigue, exactly.
I have to make up all these decisions about what goes on my sandwich, what music I'm going to listen to, you know, how I'm going to get to work. And by the end of the day, I'm not able to really tackle difficult cognitive problems.
Exactly, because you're suffering from ego depletion. So another study, this is the same group of researchers, they had students contemplating a wealthy, attractive peer, and then students were asked to work on puzzles.
Mm-hmm.
And compared with the control group, they gave up much sooner, which is the same thing that we saw with the decision fatigue and the people that had to make up all those decisions and then were later given a self-control test.
Mm-hmm.
And those people, I remember, this something like they had to put their hands in ice water. And those people were able to put their hands in ice water for half the time than the control group. So, again, you're seeing parallels here with the eroding of your mental faculties, of which, honestly, we only have a finite amount of mental energy per day, right?
Yeah.
So it's how are you going to spend it?
Yeah, are you going to waste it sort of dreamily staring at this other person's life, or worse, stabbing them in your imagination?
And
the thing is that all you have to do is go through the checkout line at the grocery store and whole industries thrive on envy. I mean, all these tabloids about what's the celebrity doing, what's the celebrity buying, what's the celebrity's personal life consist of. I mean, you walk by it and you're just like, how do people fill their days with this? You just gaze into this the celebrity abyss.
There's one magazine that I don't know if it's Us or something, but I remember flipping through it once, and they had a section called Celebrities, They're Just Like Us. And it just completely cracked me up, because it was like, this person wears a sweatshirt when they're going to the store, too. And so it reminded me of this idea. That's not quite Schadenfreude.
Yeah.
But it's sort of like, well, they look kind of schleppy sometimes, too. That makes me feel a lot better.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's not quite.
Not me, personally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, no, I understand what you're saying. It's not quite, oh, I hate this person. I want to see him stabbed. It's like I'm taking comfort in the fact that this person is mortal as well and is open to the same flaws and normalcies that I am.
Well, and it turns out that envy and Schadenfreude are actually linked, researchers think. And we'll talk about that in 1 minute when we come back.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product and yeah, it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astapro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can get Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
All right, we're back. Schadenfreude.
Schadenfreude,
which is an interesting concept and one that you actually find some theologians discussing. Thomas Aquinas in Summa Theologica said, "Wherefore, in order that the happiness of the saints may be more delightful to them and that they may render more copious thanks to God for it, they are allowed to see perfectly the sufferings of the damned." So he's talking about saints being able to see people's torments in hell.
Yeah.
And then there was I ran across another example where Jonathan Edwards, the author of Sinner in the Hands of an Angry God, he was making pretty much the same argument. "The view of the misery of the damned will double the ardor of the love and gratitude of the saints in heaven. Fourth, the sight of hell torments will exalt the happiness of the saints forever. It will not only make them more sensible of the greatness and the freeness of the grace of God in their happiness, but it will really make their happiness the greater, as it will make them more sensible of their own happiness," which sounds kind of nuts.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, there's this idea of Schadenfreude of sort of lowering the veil of perfection, right?
Yeah.
And if someone you envy, they seem like they're just bulletproof, and then all of a sudden you see that they've got a chink in their armor.
Right.
You know,
and it's the tabloid thing again.
Yeah.
It's like, let me see my heroes in unflattering swimsuits. Let me see them making mistakes. Let me see them growing older. And I always find a morbid fascination in the phrasing of that, because mm-hmm. if it's somebody that the reader of the tabloid is meant to like, it is it's always like so-and-so's brave last days. Like I think Elizabeth Taylor was having brave last days for like half a decade.
There. Yeah, she did.
But then other people, it's just the language is always far worse. Like, oh, they're just on the verge of death, you know. And people eat it up because they're getting to see their heroes fall, their gods are brought down to their level and then stopped.
Well, isn't
on.
It the whole problem? I guess you could say the problem of our existence is our consciousness and the sense that we know we're all going to die someday. So, mm-hmm. yeah, at a very basic level, it's like, hey, this is happening. I know it's going to happen for me. It's happened to this person.
But 999 birthday candles, to bring it back to that, what's going to happen when we reach the point where the first celebrity that everyone hates is like, and guess what, guys? I'm living forever. And then, I mean, the hatred that will rise up among the tabloid readers will just be immense.
I think our example for that episode was Charlie Sheen.
Yeah.
I don't think much has changed since we recorded that, if there's anybody else that could replace him. But I want to tell you about a study about envy and schadenfreude, and it has a great title, actually.
Oh, yes?
Yeah, it's called When Your Gain Is My Pain and Your Pain Is My Gain. Neural correlates of envy and schadenfreude, and this is a study by Hidehiko Takahashi, which we talked about him in the Pride episode. So he and some other researchers set out to research this, and this was their part of their in their abstract. It said, we often evaluate the self and others from social comparisons. We feel envy when the target person has superior and self-relevant characteristics. Schadenfreude occurs when envied persons fall from grace. And they go on a bit, and then they say, our findings document mechanisms of painful emotion, envy, and rewarding reaction, schadenfreude. It's really fascinating what they did here, and if you guys can just kind of bear with me as I talk a bit about the details, because I did two different studies that relate together. They had 19 subjects that were asked to visualize being a protagonist in scenarios that college students might face while undergoing an MRI. So they have these scenarios that they're inserting themselves into as the protagonist. And, for example, the following scenario, a male subject was asked to imagine himself as the protagonist. Student A, this is the person that they're envying, did well in his final examinations, but the protagonist did not. Student A is talented in baseball, but the protagonist is not. Student A is popular among girls and has a beautiful and intelligent girlfriend, but protagonist is not popular and does not have a steady girlfriend. So they go on to say student A is successful in a job interview and getting along really well with the company he wants to join, but protagonist is not. The salary is great for student A. He has a luxury condominium downtown. I mean, it just gets worse and worse for protagonist. Takahashi had the subject imagine a schadenfreude-evoking scenario then, in which the protagonist is then doing much better than student A. And the scenarios were varied to include the gender of the subject. And other students might be assigned the same gender as the subject to help them relate, right? And also details were changed so that there would be a degree of similarity between the imagined student A and the protagonist. So analysis of the resulting brain scans compared the activation in different brain regions under envy invoking and then schadenfreude evoking and then neutral scenarios. So they could test this out in a control type situation. And then the subjects were asked to rate their relative feelings of envy and their gloating in this scenario. So this is, okay, this is all, okay, yeah, I get it. They're really trying to set this up.
Uh-huh.
This is where it gets interesting. The envy-producing scenario showed activation in the anterior cingulate cortex, and that's the place in the brain that's associated with error detection or conflict, which is also activated by pain. So the conclusion here is that people experiencing envy, which is associated with shame, are feeling emotional pain or the pain of social exclusion, which I found fascinating because here's this part of your brain that is really supposed to perceive physical pain.
Uh-huh.
But if you are envying someone, you're actually feeling some sort of emotional pain from your envy.
And we have to think back to the purpose of pain itself as my body is feeling pain.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, something is wrong and must be addressed or avoided. Like there's a stick jabbing into my thigh. I should remove said stick.
Yeah.
My stomach is hurting. Whatever I ate is bad and I should probably not eat it again. So we have to take that and extrapolate it into social dynamics.
Yes.
You're feeling this emotional pain of I am not as good as they are. I'm not feeling as my self-worth is really taking a hit here. I should become as good as them. I should rise above them. I should stab them in the thigh.
And, you know, it's all about the stabbing.
Well, I mean, stabbing is the purest form of malicious envy, I think. You know?
Well, okay, so this is the other interesting part of this is that when they had the downfall of student A, they saw activation in the ventral striatum. which is associated with rewarding stimuli. And so Takahashi interpreted the activation with Schadenfreude as a feeling of pleasure, which makes sense, right? So they feel like there are correlates here, you know, that envy and Schadenfreude go hand in hand. The other thing that correlated with this is that if the student or the person in this, I should say that the protagonist, the person in the study, if they did not feel any sort of kinship with this person, they did not feel that they were at all on the same level, and that this, they couldn't imagine themselves inhabiting this person's world, they did not feel any envy. They did not have any activation in the anterior cingulate cortex or in the ventral striatum when they were when they had the Schadenfreude scenario.
So you have to be able to put yourself in their shoes to some extent to actually take pleasure in their downfall.
You have to imagine this life for yourself, because even though there might be some great object that someone has in their possession, if you don't somehow connect with that person or relate with that person, then it doesn't matter to you. So that could be a myriad things, right? It could be the socioeconomic background. It could be the kind of music they listen to. But it makes sense that in a workplace scenario, why there might be more instances of envy, because in a workplace scenario, you're more likely to connect, or not necessarily connect, but to
well, they're in your world.
In your world. That's right. They're on your playing field. So that was really fascinating about this study. But not only that, there's neuroscientists that are taking the findings of the activation of the anterior cingulate cortex. Again, this is where the pain, physical pain, would usually light up the activation of the brain. And they're saying that it's an indication of development of complex emotions piggybacking off the primal brain system. So that
the rat-like hindbrain.
So what they're saying is that this could point to not us developing more complex systems in order to deal with more complex feelings, but really piggybacking off these primal feelings.
It's the brain as an ice cream scoop again. You know, the idea that it's just one more scoop added to as the brain evolves. Not an overall rehaul of the system.
It's not a banana split. It's an ice cream cone. You know, double decker.
Well, I can't speak for most workplaces, but we do have relatively few stabbings here at How Stuff Works.
It's true. So yeah, there's not a lot of maiming going on here.
Right.
And I'm going to say I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that's probably because there are not a whole lot of people, as far as I know, that are morally disengaged. And when I say morally disengaged, I don't mean to say like, oh, they're, you know, good or bad people. I'm talking about it more in the sense of a study that was called the Social Context Model of Envy and Social Undermining, and it was in the Academy of Management Journal. And they were saying that if an employee feels morally disengaged at work, so they're feeling disconnected from other coworkers, they are far more likely to not just envy coworkers with whom they feel they have similarities. Again, that's really important. But they would actually act on those thoughts of envy and try to sabotage them.
Interesting.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
So potentially, say, an office where individuals don't have much contact with one another, mm-hmm. they would be more likely to be morally disengaged, I would think.
Well, it kind of depends on the person. It may just be that they feel disenfranchised mm-hmm. or they just don't feel connected. Because I think a lot of us now work remotely, but we still have relationships,
right?
Thanks to the magic and the power of the Internet, right? What they did is they looked at 160 employees from a Midwest American hospital, and they tested whether the person had a lack of identification with colleagues, because they knew this would increase the mm-hmm. them acting on their envy. And respondents took two surveys. They were 8 months apart to assess their envy, their affinity with colleagues, and their comfort with subversive acts. And the research basically said that envious people with ties to coworkers were less likely to act on their envy, while lone wolves seemed to enter into a bubble of moral disengagement that allowed them to more freely undermine colleagues by, withholding information or spreading gossip, for instance. The moral of this story was, hey, companies, you should really make sure that all of your employees feel like they have a stake in the matter, or they feel connected to each other in one manner or another.
Yeah, make them feel like they're on the same team, that it's a we and not a, that I'm not this embattled employee, that it's like, well, they're all out to get me anyway, so I might as well do whatever the heck I want.
So, yeah, I mean, that so that you don't enter into this bubble where it's okay to morally distance yourself. And maybe just start jamming up the copying machine on purpose. I don't know.
Oh, is that why I was broken the other day?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it reminds me, I can't help but think of the film The Spanish Prisoner by David Mamet. Did you ever see this?
I did, yeah, a long time ago.
Steve Martin plays the shadowy character in it. And that's largely all I don't remember what the exact plot was, except it had to do with a classic scam called The Spanish Prisoner.
Yeah.
There's a really nice scene where the protagonist in the story is really sudden, like his working condition is suddenly taking a dive, and mm-hmm. his employers are being kind of jerks to him, and he's like, what's this about? And this other character explains to him, well, it's because they're about to screw you over. So they're having to create this moral distance from you
right.
to do it.
Right.
So you can see that potentially working both ways in an employee-employer situation.
Well, we've seen moral distancing in so many different situations. We talked about it in lying, where people start to use third-person references for themselves mm-hmm. as opposed to first-person. We've talked about it in eating animals, how you start to talk about meat in very different terms. Yeah, I mean, you can definitely see this at work in all different levels of your relationship to your world.
Like anytime you hear someone talking about bureaucracy, which, granted, there are plenty of times in any corporation, any kind of working environment where you can say, like, oh, that seems a little bureaucratic, mm-hmm. In the negative sense. But it's also like an instant way to distance yourself from the actual people and you're just like, oh, there's a bureaucracy in place. There's this soulless entity that is messing with my happiness.
Well, it is. The ability to label it like that is a sense of comfort, too, right?
Right.
Because it's like, oh, this nameless, faceless thing, which mm-hmm. is, impacting my life.
And a nameless, faceless thing, I can totally steal office supplies from that.
Yeah, post-it notes.
Yeah.
Those have my name on it. Journalist Oliver James, he has a talk on the School of Life about envy, specifically. And it was really interesting. He talks about envy as being affluenza. As opposed to influenza, right?
Affluenza.
Okay. Gotcha. This preoccupation with becoming affluent. And he says it's largely cultural. He says that if you live in Denmark and had an envy-inspiring childhood, meaning things happened in your childhood in which sort of set you up to envy others, you're less likely to express it than if you live in New York or London, because at a very simple level, much less energy is expended in mainline continental societies in fostering envy. So his point there is this has got to be cultural. There are some countries, there are some regions where this pursual of things and abstractions of happiness via wealth mm-hmm. aren't really important. And he says that since the 1960s, four times more has been spent per capita on advertising and marketing in America compared to the continental mainline Europe. And he says, and throughout the rest of the English-speaking world, including England, twice as much is being spent. So he says, okay, let's look at the marketing and the advertising, because it's very much encouraging you to covet, to want things that other people have.
Huh. It reminds me of the, in Tibetan Buddhism, Buddhism in general, there's the idea of the pretas, the realm of the pretas, the hungry ghost,
mm-hmm.
Which is one of the lower realms that one can find themselves born into. And the pretas have enormous bellies and tiny narrow necks and ravenous mouths, because they're just so hungry for things,
mm-hmm.
For material possessions generally. They're so hungry for the things in the world around them, and they don't have the ability to keep up with that hunger.
Well, see, and it's interesting. There you have a culture in where you're actually talking about this, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is, if you're, I don't know if people are sitting around the dinner table in Tibet, for instance, and talking about this, but here is a story about envy mm-hmm. and what happens when you engage in it. And this is another thing that James Oliver was talking about. There are cultures that are much more traditional that actually try to minimize evil. And what he was talking about is that they have belief structures in place to kind of downplay it. And he was saying that, for instance, an evil eye might be cast upon you if you were to start to brag about your success, right, or your successes. And he's also saying that cultures that have less property rights.
And this is not just, we're not just talking about giving somebody the stink eye here, where they just but like the actual
right.
evil eye, an actual curse.
Pulling out the evil eye
yeah.
and basically saying, stand down.
Yeah.
Like we're not really interested in,
Oh man, wouldn't it be great to do that at like, you go to a party and somebody starts off on some long discussion about how great they are, and you can just pull out the evil eye and let them have it.
Yeah. You say, hey, you jackanapes.
That's enough.
Just enough with that. I got my evil eye out. Maybe this is something that we can introduce in the United States.
Yeah.
And market and other people will covet it.
Your friend talking a little bit too much about their promotion? Evil eye.
I think there's something here.
Coworker loves his new condo a little too much? Evil eye. Yeah.
You can even get an evil eye tattoo.
Yeah.
There are all sorts of possibilities here. With his point, though, is like, here are these cultures that are actually saying that this is not acceptable in our society for you to act this way.
Well, again, we go back to Dante and the idea of a whole bunch of envious individuals sitting on the side of a mountain with their eyes sewn shut. That sounds like a pretty good argument there. Maybe just nobody listens to it anymore within those cultures. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a little bit harder to sort of bring up in a social situation. Well, in terms of a metaphorical, what do you do? Do you like a picture of someone with their eyes.
I guess what you're saying. There's not an instant sort of thing. I mean, all you could do, I guess the version of it we have that we go to most in Western cultures is simply to roll your eyes or sort of walk away from the conversation or drastically try and change the subject.
Or you could put some sort of like make it look like wire thread on the rim of your eye and then shut your eyes.
Yeah. Or you inject a little of the schadenfreude. If you're bragging about something, you ask a biting question that knocks the block out from under them a little bit.
That's
like,
right.
Like someone's got a new car and they're like, oh, my new car is so great. And you're like, oh, so what's the depreciation rate on a new vehicle like that?
Well,
what's the insurance like for that vehicle? And then, bam.
But you know what? That's what Oliver James says. He actually, he talked about an instance in his own life where there was a colleague that he started to attack on national television, no less. And, or I guess on the BBC. And,
not physically.
No, but he said it was a complete rant and it didn't make any sense to him until later he realized that he envied that colleague and was trying to take him down a notch.
Huh.
So you see that he must have been getting some sort of kick there, some sort of reward in his brain. But you know, this is what he says. He says that this sort of envy, this wanting, this void, this filling the void, is driving a lot of mental illness. And he says that if we could just turn more inward and try to figure out the things that make us happy, like he was saying, if you can identify the state of flow that sometimes we engage in, that state of flow in which time just evaporates, right? Because you are so engaged in something and it's so pleasurable.
And you're living in the moment. You're not living in a path that you're concerned about or a future that you're worried over.
Yeah. He's saying if we could just engage in that and quit focusing on the exterior and what we think we're lacking, then a lot of this sort of mental illness of society would not be as bad as it is if we could quit listening basically to marketers and advertisers and didn't really care about the halftime Super Bowl ads, you know, for instance, that this is sort of a path that would get us away from that.
Yeah. And then we can depart the realm of hungry ghosts. I like it. All right. Well, let's call the robot over and see if he has an interesting listener mail, maybe, to cap all this off. All right. We have a couple here. Both are rat-related, which I like. The first one is a response to our recent and, dare I say, awesome Rat King episode. Devin writes in and says, hello from Canada. Thank you for all the amazing podcasts, with the exception of your Rat King episode. I listen to all your podcasts while at work as a postman here in Edmonton, Alberta. Alberta is thankfully a, quote, rat-free, unquote, province. This knowledge was a security blanket that I clung to while listening to you. Your podcast has me gagging and quivering while delivering mail. Since childhood, I have had a phobia of rats. I am able to control this fear down to a mild discomfort in most cases. The Rat King, however, is one of the most disgusting things I could possibly imagine. And then it all descends into gibberish. From there. So that was a delightful email.
Yeah, I'm sorry to cause such consternation, but that was a really funny email.
Yeah. And then we also heard from Sue B., who writes in about the same gender sex pairings in animals, the gay animals episode we did. And Sue B. says, I had two pet rats that are sisters, named Natalie and Ika. It has an explanation point at the end.
I was going to say, that's the kind of name that you would need an exclamation point with.
Ika was large and more aggressive, but not as adventurous as Natalie as to exploring their surroundings. Natalie would get into anything not sealed off. Ika was very interested in pinning Natalie down and licking her genitalia, or mounting her as a male would. Natalie had no interest in this. At times, Ika's ardor was very aggressive, and Nat would have to fight her off. Ika would be relentless to the point that it distressed me. I wanted to tell her to stop raping her sister. So many character aspects herein. Incest, same gender sexual attraction, a possibility of asexuality, and just plain domination. I guess that's my two cents. Best regards, Sue B.
Wow, that was the oddest configuration of words ever tumbling out of your mouth with such intonations as well.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to say about that.
But that's fascinating. We asked for examples of same-sex animal adventures in his life, and that was an interesting account. So
I wasn't expecting the level of detail.
Yeah. So, hey, if the rest of you guys would like to pipe in, if you have something you would like to add about Rat Kings, about same-sex relationships between Rat Kings, or just good old green envy, let us know. We'd love to hear about it. I mean, specifically, you know, how do you process envy in your life? I mean, to what extent do you feel like you're aware of it? Do you ever catch yourself becoming envious. And then how do you process that?
And did you ever know how much it wore your brain down?
Yeah, yeah. Do you feel like a little worn out after a long bout of envy? If so, let us know. You can find us on Facebook as Stuff to Blow the Mind, and you can find us on Twitter as Blow the Mind.
And you can send us an email at blowthemind@discovery.com.
Be sure to check out our new video podcast, Stuff from the Future. Join HowStuffWorks staff as we explore the most promising and perplexing possibilities of tomorrow.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.